So we're going to talk and spend the next hour talking about this issue of understanding and overcoming sexual sin. And I understand this is really a bit challenging, this issue we're going to talk about for the next hour. And for many of us, if we really had our preference and desire, we just wouldn't even talk about this. We wouldn't talk about it. It would never be an issue, and there would just be no reason to ever talk about it. The challenge is, if you counsel, you're going to need to help people with this issue. See, anyone who does counseling for any length of time knows that sexual-related issues will find their way in the counseling room. And even those, you say, well, look, I'm not going to counsel. I'm in the church, and, oh, yeah, I guess I'm a deacon in the church, but I don't counsel. Well, guess what? In that role as a deacon, you're going to find couples who are challenged and struggling in this area. Some lives are falling apart due to this issue. You have to face the reality that sexual sin is one of the major issues and major sins in our day today. We are blessed and excited about the opportunity that we have with Vision of Hope for our at-risk girls that we have right next to the community center. But I can tell you that Vision of Hope is issue central. And the stories that you hear about abuse and sexual issues that go on in and with those girls, unbelievable. That you and I would say, there's no way that goes on. And I would tell you, way, it does happen and it does go on. We also need to recognize we face a lot of sexual temptation. Agree with that? Because I saw all of you at the little break here, what? Half of you were on your smartphones. And we have our tablets and we have our, right? I mean, you know, almost anywhere you go. You go to the grocery store. You drive down the street, and what's on the billboards? What are they promoting at some element? You go to work. You go on vacation, and you're going to the beach. Sometimes, you ready? You come to church and open your eyes. Right? The temptation is all around us. And the internet has made pornography so easy that pornography is one of the largest businesses in the world. And again, I've heard that if you ask the search engines, what's their biggest searches for? Pornography. So, and you can get it with spam, and you don't have to look for it. Spam and pop-up and all the internet advertisements. And again, building relationships is all that's required for those that want to take things further. And even an average church, it's really not that hard to find a person in a bad marriage. Quite frankly, it's really good for us to be reminded of this because so that we don't commit these same sins. Isn't it nice to come to a conference where you can go home and help everybody else, right? Ourselves, right? Ourselves. How do we handle these temptations? And is anyone in the room immune? No, we're not immune. You can't avoid all temptations, but you can learn to manage them. I think to avoid all temptations, you would seclude yourself and close your eyes for your whole life. Never hear or see anything. See, the Bible communicates a lot about sexual sin. One of our pastors talks about sitting in seminary. And chapel one day, the preacher got up and said, "Men, turn your Bibles to the Song of Solomon." And he was a parent of a teenager and said, "Men, I'm so tired of people telling me that we should not talk about sex because it might stir up my teenagers. I'm here to tell you, they're already stirred up. And that's really not the point. The only question is whether they're going to learn what God says about it or whether they're going to be influenced by the unbelieving, foolish world. See, it's not about, don't talk about this because you'll just stir up things that aren't there. It's already there. The question is, what are they going to turn to? Who are they going to turn to? Where are they going to turn to? And the pastor, one of our guys went on and said, look, he talked about, preached from the Song of Solomon, and afterwards the seminary student said, wow, that was the best message I've heard from the Song of Solomon. And they looked at each other and said, that's the only one I've ever heard from the Song of Solomon. And we as leaders and pastors and missionaries and parents have the responsibility to teach what God says about this subject. Sexual sin brings with it severe consequences. Now, think about this. In God's economy, sin is on a level playing field, right? It's all deserving of death, eternal destruction. And it all can be forgiven through the cross of Christ, right? However, in man's economy, different sins bring about different consequences. And sexual sins are some of the worst. Think about the person who just learned the adultery of their spouse. Think about the pastor whose desire for pornography and masturbation finally was exposed to the church. Think about the teenage kids who watched the spouse leave because of adultery. Think about what I see on a regular basis. Again, under 25, under 26, 70%, more than half of them that have babies aren't married. The sexually transmitted diseases and the consequences of that, some with significant pain, some with inability to get pregnant, some with developing cancers because of what they acquired. See, sexual sin has severe consequences. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20, flee immorality, flee immorality. By the way, what does that mean? Flee immorality, right? I mean, people say to me, I don't understand the Bible. And I'm like, what should those two words do we not understand, right? And sexual sin and temptation is very deceiving, very deceiving. It really, there's elements about, when you think about it, it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's very deceiving. Now, when you guys, and I know you've been out to dinner a number of times in down State Road 26, down our restaurant row, right? I mean, all these restaurants. Well, down the road a little ways, on the left side of the road, as you're going that way, is a great steak place called Mountain Jack's. Anybody been there? Well, too bad for the rest of you who haven't. Maybe you'll make it there sometime, not on Valentine's Day, though. But otherwise, you may be able to go there. Great place, okay? The interesting part about it, when you walk out of Mountain Jack's and you look across the street, is another restaurant. And it even begins with M, just like Mountain Jack's. Anybody know what it is? McDonald's. Now, I'm not against McDonald's. Not too much. But here's the question. This issue of deceiving. See, if you gave the person a choice, you can go to Mountain Jack's and have dinner tonight, have a great steak dinner and great dessert and great salad, or you can eat a rotten chicken from the dumpster behind McDonald's, which would you choose? Not a question, right? Not even a question. But this deception is like eating from the dumpster and thinking that you are eating at Mountain Jack's. It's deceptive. It's deceptive. It's deceptive. And it behooves us, and just we need to recognize the deceptive power of sexual temptation. By the way, if you're a con artist and you're trying to con people out of money, do you walk around with a sign that says, I'm a con artist, don't trust me? No, of course not, right? You would never do that, right? Because what are you trying to do? Deceive people. You're trying to deceive people. And think about Proverbs 9. The Lady Folly and Lady Wisdom say many of the same words.